You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Mr. Mahomes, picking up right where he left off. We'll tell you why this Kansas City offense may be about to get much better still. Plus, choices, choices. Which of these legends gets the upper hand when they go head-to-head Sunday in a game that could easily matter all the way to January? And easy does it. Are LeBron and the Lakers looking ready to cruise all the way to a championship in the bubble? We'll answer all those questions on the first Football Friday of the season. On Get Up, starting right now, and as always, we come to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Look who's in studio. In studio. Bart Scott is here. It is great to see you again, my friend.
That's been far too long.
It has been much too long, and we have a ton of football acumen ready to go today. Look who's ready to go. Mark Sanchez is up early with us. Rob Ninkovich, Diana Russini is here. We have a lot of football to get to, and Ryan Clark will join us momentarily. And, of course, it all begins with the game of the night. Last night in Kansas City, where the Chiefs coming off their Super Bowl championship, Patrick Mahomes and company taking on the Texans. Now, it began this way. During the playing of the national anthem, all of the Chiefs, save for one, stood. The Texans remained in the locker room. Then the teams came together at the middle of the field to lock arms in a form of unity before the kickoff. All right, you could clearly hear there was booing during that, and we will talk about that in a few moments. Meanwhile, to the action. We pick it up in the first quarter, and that's Deshaun Watson giving to David Johnson for the first touchdown of the NFL season. Johnson takes it in, and the Texans have a 7-0 lead. Now we're late in the first. It's Mahomes at his 36. First and 10, and there's his favorite target. There's Travis Kelce. That's 15 yards and a first down. They would work their way down to the red zone later in the drive. Chiefs, third and goal. Mahomes in the gun. Kelce in the end zone. Mahomes' 77th career passing touchdown, passing Dan Marino for most through 32 games. We're tied at 7. Later in the second, Chiefs on the march again. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Get ready to hear his name a lot. They would use him a ton in the drive. Third and goal from the one. Mahomes. Sammy Watkins in for the short score. Watkins, 7 catches, 82 yards in the touchdown. Chiefs up 14-7. Third quarter, it's 17-7. Second and 3 at the Texans' 27. It's Edwards-Helaire. Oh, look at the move! Making not one but two men miss, and he's in for the score. Edwards-Helaire, 25 touches, 138 yards, and this touchdown. Look at the moves from the kid from LSU. Chiefs go up 24-7. We go to the fourth. Watson desperately trying to bring his team back at his own 36. This isn't going to help. He's holding, he's looking, he's feeling the pressure. His arm is hit, and he's picked off. The long night for Deshaun Watson. His first turnover of the season, he finishes with 253 yards, the touchdown, the pick, and 4 sacks. Meanwhile, third and goal, Mahomes looking to put this away. Andy Reid's got mask issues. Tyreek Hill, touchdown in the corner of the end zone. Mahomes, 211 yards, 24 of 32, 3 touchdowns. Chiefs looking very comfortable at home. They win it 34-20. The beginning of their championship defense starts with the win.
For how tall he is, man, he's got the strength of somebody my size, man. He runs the ball like no one I've ever seen at that size, and it's fun to play with, man. It's infectious when you see him out there playing his tail off and running his tail off. You want to go out there and block for him.
He's been doing it since the day he got here. I mean, he's been working hard. He's been learning from his mistakes. He's going to keep getting better. It's another weapon I kind of have in this offense, and we're going to keep doing whatever we can to keep moving the ball and scoring touchdowns.
All right, the rookie, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, clearly was the story. Remember, Lewis Riddick made him the first pick in a fantasy draft, and he looked smart last night. The 138 yards rushing, the second most by a player making their Chiefs debut, is 25 rushes, the most ever by a player in a Kansas City debut. So, on a night that was supposed to be all about Patrick Mahomes, it is the rookie running back who steals the show. As we bring my crew in for the conversation here, and Bart, I will start with you as I turn to my left. What can we say is the number one takeaway from the Chiefs last night?
Wow. I mean, the rich get richer. I'm looking at the Golden State Warriors of football. I mean, they have so many options. You never know who's going to kill you. You know, you take away Tyreek Hill, no problem. You look at Sammy Watkins really come alive. And then this rookie, you know, this Brian Westbrook clone. I mean, you think about Andy Reid, he has to be salivating with the fact that he has a guy that can be, you know, effective in space. And the big concern was, what would he be able to stand up and hold up in pass protection? They didn't even give him the option. They just released him, got the ball to him, and got him in space. He's tough in between the tackles. You see him with the R2, L2 spin right here, being able to make defenders miss. And it was a lot of sloppy tackling yesterday, but you got to really give this young kid credit for really, you know, making his name first day against the defending champs. He's playing with his hair on fire, and I think he's going to be one of the top fantasy guys of the league this year.
Yeah, so from a fantasy perspective, a good start, and a reality perspective, a good start. There's Ryan Clark, who joins us this morning as well. That's your LSU guy, RC. What was your number one takeaway from last night?
Listen, this is what I knew, man. Young boys dropped top last night, and he knew that album was coming out, and the 225 was on fire, and that's where Clyde Edwards-Helaire is from, and that's what he showed y'all. Listen, he mentioned, you heard Bart mention Brian Westbrook. Brian Westbrook gave me hell when we played, and there was one distinction that you had to make. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is not small. He's just short. He's powerful. He's quick. He's elusive. And you saw all of those things on display last night. I think the thing that stood out to me was Kansas City's willingness to start with him with the ball. You said it, Greeny. It was supposed to be all about Patrick Mahomes, but they came out and it was run first, run second, and then throw the football. It looked like he was back in Les Miles' offense at LSU, where they refused to pass early, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire made Eric Bieniemy and he made Andy Reid look like geniuses for drafting him with the last pick of the first round. And I think we're going to see more of this. When you're playing against the Kansas City Chiefs, you have to be ready for 11 personnel. That's one back and one tight end. That's going to put you in sub packages on defense with nickel backs on the field. Now you have a small box, a more physical offensive line, and a running back that can make you miss in the phone booth. Justin Reed, who's a good friend of mine and plays safety for the Houston Texans, I wake up this morning, there's a text on the group chat that says, "Hey man, I like Clyde." And the reason is he's hard to tackle. He's a guy that's going to be tough when he finishes runs, and he can do more than one thing in the pass game. He can block. He can catch the ball. This is a home run for the Kansas City Chiefs, and you lost Damian Williams, who could have been the Super Bowl MVP going down the stretch last year, and you replace him with a better player. For Clyde to go from that offense at LSU with Joe Burrow and all those great receivers to this offense in Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes and all those great receivers, he understands how to fit in great offenses, and he's done that already for this team.
All right, so Rob Ninkovich, you're playing linebacker, and you're staring on the other side of the field. They have Patrick Mahomes, a quarterback. Now they have this dynamic rookie behind him. You've got Kelce, you've got Hill, you've got Watkins, and we haven't even begun to talk about some of the other weapons. What do you do? If you're playing against this team, what are you thinking going into a game?
Well, look, number one, you have to stop the run. If you can't stop the run, they're just going to stuff it down your throat. You can't stop the run. That's the biggest issue for the Texans. That was my biggest takeaway. Yesterday, they couldn't stop the run, and we are witnessing the cause and effect of not having a training camp where you're actually putting pads on, you're not going out there and playing any preseason games. And Bill used to say it all the time in practice, "Oh yeah, I got him, I tagged off, oh yeah, I got him. But in game speed reality, you're missing that guy. And we saw a lot of missed tackles yesterday. We saw, you know, sloppy defense. And I know Bart's gonna say, look, you know, with the Kansas City offense, you can't, you know, go heavy, you can't bring an extra guy. But at the end of the day, you gotta be able to stop the run with your front seven. You gotta be able to stop the run with the defensive line and your linebackers. If you bring in an eighth guy, it really doesn't matter. He's a safety, he's usually a small guy anyway. So when I'm watching this game last night, I am watching a defense that doesn't know how to stop the run. And how do you stop the run? You get out there every single day in practice. You do 9-on-7. You do half line. You do all the things that they have limited now with the preseason not being there, with the rules and regulations of how you can hit and all those different things. That is going to come out in these live action games. We are seeing it. And I think in the first few weeks of the season, all these games, fantasy people are going to be going nuts because their running backs are going to be making a ton of points.
Bart, I can, it's sitting 6 feet from me and is definitively shaking his head. Why do you disagree?
I mean, because Ryan understands, right? He understands when you go against these sub packages and you're on a second level, you have to pick your poison. And we always used to say, listen, if Brady is handing it off, he's not throwing it. And what happens is when you decide to drop that eighth man in the box, now you have one-on-one with Tyreek Hill, you have one-on-one with Travis Kelce. You know, it's like dying a slow death. You're hoping that maybe you get a holding penalty. You're hoping that maybe somebody has a procedure penalty where you put them behind the sticks and then they have to be into typical predictable type of positions as far as throwing the ball. It had nothing to do with that, I believe. I think because the Kansas City Chiefs has no problem making tackles. What happened is they spread you out so deep that you have a body for a body because you're in a sub package and you have two deep safeties, and they just got beat up because they couldn't afford to drop the eighth man in the box or the dime or the extra safety inside of the box because of the personnel.
It's possible that both are true also, and the reality is that Kansas City offense is going to be trouble for everybody all year long. We'll talk much more about this. Again, we'll get Mark Sanchez into the conversation as well. But, of course, as we saw at the very beginning of the highlight, the two teams held a moment of unity at midfield before the game began, where some of the nearly 17,000 fans who were in attendance could clearly be heard booing. Here was some of what the players had to say about that after the game.
Honestly, didn't hear a lot of booing. So I've seen a little bit of the videos after, and I'm just we wanted to show unity, and we wanted to show we're going to come together and keep fighting the good fight, and I hope our fans will support us like they do on the game every single day.
We talked all until really last night, and we, you know, kept it up front, and he told us what they were going to do. I told him what we wanted to do, and we got on the same page.
The moment of unity I personally thought was good. I mean, the booing was unfortunate during that moment. I don't fully understand that. There was no flag involved. There was nothing involved with that besides two teams coming together to show unity.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, so RC, what was your reaction to all of it, to all of the things that we saw take place before the game last night?
Well, I know there was a lot of discussion about what each team was going to do. I talked to some of the players, and they discussed, you know, those things together as well. The Kansas City Chiefs decided to be on the field for the playing of the anthems, and the Houston Texans decided to go a different route and stay in their locker room. I thought that the moment of unity was something that could have been, should have been, and could have been expected. And those teams came together to show that, you know what, it's not about division. It's not about which color works. It's not about black or white. It's about being on the side of right. And you can't be on the side of right if you're separated. And so I thought that the two captains of each team, the two highest players in the NFL, decided to make a stand, decided to have a demonstration that showed that the NFL is behind the fight for social justice, but also show that the players are not just going to go out and play football without keeping this as a priority and without making sure that this is on the forefront of everyone's mind while they play this game. And so for me, I thought it was good. There's going to be boos, Greeny. There's going to be people that disagree. There's going to be the shut up and play crowd. There's going to be the this is football, keep politics out of it crowd. But I think the one thing that these players understand, especially the black players, and I do believe their teammates understand, is when they leave that stadium, Patrick Mahomes is still black. When Deshaun Watson leaves that stadium, he is still black. And all the green in the world that they have in their bank accounts cannot let them escape that. And so when they have to deal with these things off the field, when their families have to deal with these things off the field, and when they want to be voices for these things off the field, they don't get to take time off from that. So I thought it was great that these teams decided to do this, that the NFL allowed them to do this, and that the coaches were on board as well. This is a step in the right direction. The boos will continue, but I believe eventually there'll be more cheers.
Bart, what did you think of it all?
Well, I thought that, you know, you think about the NFL or you think about sports and athletics, this has always been part of the platform, whether you want to go back to, you know, Lew Alcindor and Jim Brown and what they tried to do. And we're still fighting for the same things that they were fighting for back then. I think, how can you boo unity? I mean, you have players coming together wanting equality for all. I think that's something that we all should get behind. Nobody ever has an issue when the NFL comes united for cancer, which they're going to wear pink in October, or mental health awareness. I think this should be right aligned with that. I don't know how you can boo for being on the side of right. I think the players are obligated to use their platform. I think Kaepernick started this. The NBA is taking it forward, and it's time for the NFL to take the baton.
Right, so that's how it all began last night with the season. Before the first game, into the first game, and on we go into the first weekend. We have much more to do as we continue on this Football Friday here on Get Up. Coming up, Cam Newton has been feeling the love in New England, but will the odd couple bring home another division title for the Patriots? Our guys have opinions, and the Lake Show heating up in the bubble. Kendrick Perkins will be here. Tell us if LeBron and the Lakers are now his favorites to win it all. All that and more as we get going. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is brought to you by Pizza Hut. Order today at pizzahut.com. And by RE/MAX. Nobody in the world sells more real estate than RE/MAX. All right, it is the first weekend of the NFL season, and there are a lot of very intriguing games, including the highly anticipated debut of Tom Brady and the Bucs against the Saints in the Superdome. First game in NFL history to feature multiple 40-year-old starting quarterbacks. Then, after going 6-0 in division play last year, the Packers take on the Vikings in a season opener for the first time since 08. Aaron Rodgers led Green Bay to his first victory ever then. Lamar Jackson, meanwhile, back in action as the Ravens host the Browns. Last year's MVP threw for over 300 yards and 5 touchdowns in the opener last year. And in the AFC East, the Dolphins will head to Foxborough to face the Patriots. Cam Newton becoming the 5th quarterback to make his first start for New England under Bill Belichick. The last 4 each won their first start. And so let's put together some more of our squad this morning. Diana Russini is here, and I will start with you. There has been such glowing conversation coming out of there. Cam loves Bill, and Bill loves Cam. Sometimes that makes one a little bit suspicious. Diana, what are you hearing out of Foxborough 2 days before this actually begins?
Yeah, it reminds me of the first week I brought my fiance home to my parents. I was overselling so much to try to make up for some of the weak areas, which they now figured out. It's very odd that Bill Belichick is doing something we never saw him do in 20 years in New England, which is tell all of us pretty much how great Cam Newton is. But I translate it as this. I think he's just trying to make Cam Newton comfortable. There is so much change. But in terms of what we can expect, I think in terms of any offense, the unexpected is what we can expect. We've never seen this. They are going to take full advantage of Cam Newton's ability to run his skill set and mix that directly with the creativity of Josh Daniels' offense. What they're doing in New England, from what I hear, is smart. They're not going with, hey, let's just set this offense to work in the advantage of Cam Newton, or let's just do what Josh McDaniels can do. They are mixing this perfectly, and hopefully we'll see some of that progress out on the field on Sunday.
Okay, and so obviously, Rob Ninkovich, you played in New England for years. You were a captain in New England. What have you read from the way Bill has been so effusive in his praise? What should we be taking away from that, and what do you expect to happen on Sunday?
Look, we all know Bill Belichick is the best coach of all, one of the greatest of all times. He's the best coach in the NFL right now. So one of those jobs as a coach, you have to figure out what and how do I get the best out of my players. Certain players, they need to be, you know, held accountable a certain way. Others need to be lifted up in another way. So You know, for me, I think that this whole situation with the Cam and all the praise, it's to boost Cam's confidence up, you know, to get him. He's in a new place. He's on a new team. You know, coming into week one, you want him flying high with his teammates and everyone coming together. So, you know, I feel like Bill does a great job understanding what gets a player in the perfect mindset to go out there and execute and to play at a high level. So for Cam, you know, look, I think it's raising him up, boosting him up, getting his confidence high. You know, other players like myself, for example, it's, you know, bringing me down a little bit, you know, maybe insult me a little bit, tell me I'm not very good. And then I go out there and I perform, right? So that's just the way coaching is. If you're a great coach like Bill, you know how to motivate guys. You know how to get them out there. And sometimes if you critique somebody, they go the other way. They don't perform well. So for me, I think that that is the case. And I look forward to watching what Cam can do this season.
Bart, I'm going to ask you as simply as I can. Is this going to be a success, Cam Newton in New England?
I think it's going to be a success. I definitely believe so. I mean, when you think about this chapter has always been in the playbook. They just haven't been able to utilize it because of the skill set of Tom Brady. They've used it with Jacoby Brissett. I think they've been waiting to modernize this offense. But I'm just laughing at the fact that, you know, Bill seems to me like a brokenhearted man that lost his girlfriend. And he's trying to say, hey, Tom, listen, look at my new boyfriend that I have. And look at all the things that he can do that you couldn't do. I think one thing that Cam Newton's going to allow this team to make teams do is play 11 on 11. And right now, listen, the Patriots got him for cheap. So they don't care. He's a rental car. You know, you got a rental car. You can smoke cigarettes in. You throw the butts down. You have your McDonald's, your wrappers. Who cares? Because guess what? They can run him to death, and they don't have to pay him next year. So let's see how much Bill loves him when it comes time to cut the check for $40+ million next year. Right now, Cam is a rental car. They're trying to use him up and run all the tread off them tires because at the end of the day, they get to turn it back into Hurts.
Okay, I like it. Very quick, note to self, do not lend my car to Bart Scott under any circumstances. Okay, much more from the NFL as we go, but let's get up and go around a ridiculously busy day in sports yesterday. College football, the Miami Hurricanes opened up their season with a 31-14 win over UAB. De'Ara King threw for and ran for a touchdown in his Hurricanes debut. They will open ACC play next week against Louisville, a game you'll see on ABC. To the U.S. Open, Naomi Osaka moves on to the finals after she won in three sets over Jennifer Brady. Osaka has now won 10 matches in a row. She'll be seeking her third Grand Slam title and second U.S. Open championship, and she will not be facing Serena Williams in the final. Victoria Azarenka knocked out Serena last night, ending Serena's bid for a record-tying 24th Grand Slam. Serena dominated the first set 6-1, but then dropped the last two. So it will be Azarenka and Naomi Osaka in the U.S. Open final. And our coverage of the U.S. Open continues today on ESPN, starting 4 Eastern with the men's semifinals. Both matches today are on ESPN, and you can see them on the ESPN app. As we continue, the Chiefs offense picked up right where it left off last season, but could this unstoppable unit get even better? We'll talk about that with our quarterback coming up next. And we got this from Sneaky Hembo, and it's for Bart. Here we go, Bart Scott. Patrick Mahomes is one of two active quarterbacks to win 25 of his first 32 career starts in the regular season. Who do you think the other one is? We're back with the answer in a moment. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up, and Sneaky Hembo has got this one for Bart Scott. Patrick Mahomes is one of two active quarterbacks to win 25 of his first 32 starts in the regular season. Who's the other one?
Unfortunately, I lived this experience. The original Paul Bunyan, Ben Roethlisberger himself.
Wow. I would have thought that's right.
What?
It isn't. The answer is Philip Rivers, who was drafted in the same draft. I have to be honest with you. I was 100% sure you were right. I didn't turn the page until just now. I almost said, that's correct.
Wow.
But it's not. Phillip Rivers is the answer. Wow, sneaky Hembo does it again. Meanwhile, how did Mahomes get to 25-7? Let's take another look. We opened showing you the Chiefs and the Texans, opening it all up last night, and we pick it up in the second quarter. Chiefs are down 7-0, but not for long. Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, we're all tied. Mahomes, 77 career touchdown through 32 games. Later in the second, third and goal, Mahomes swings it out for Sammy Watkins for a quick touchdown. Watkins had 7 catches, 82 yards, 14-7. Now it's 17-7 in the third. And look at Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Oh, the Bart Scott. It hurts me just looking at you, watching him do that to another person. Edwards-Helaire finished with 138 yards on 25 touches. Then fourth quarter, it's Mahomes again. This time it's Tyreek Hill. So he was spreading it out last night. Mahomes, 211 yards, 24 of 32, 3 touchdowns. Chiefs open this season just the way they left off a year ago, 34-20 in the opener. My quarterback is back. Mark Sanchez is here. Mark, we've not heard from you yet. As you watched this Chiefs offense play last night, what was your biggest takeaway?
It's one or two things. Either the Chiefs picked up right where they left off and they're ready to go take this league by storm again and go back-to-back. Or Texans, the Houston Texans just aren't very good. Bottom line is, when they brought in Baton Rouge's own Mighty Mouse is what they called him at LSU, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you can tell they know what they're doing personnel-wise. And Ryan Clark can speak to this about being in a great organization where you keep a good nucleus and you continue to draft and develop. Ninkovich can talk about this. He knows about it in New England, but they know what they look like, what they want their final product to look like. They execute in situations right before halftime, and it really was. There was a 13-point switch before halftime. The Texans miss a field goal. The Chiefs have about 40 seconds to go down, get in field goal range. They execute, they get a field goal, and they come out like gangbusters in the second half and hit you again right on the side of the head with another 7 points, 13 points. They end up winning by 14. It just gets away from teams. They pull away from teams in those hidden points moments and those special situations. They've got it all figured out right now. I know it's week one. I know it's early, but this team is around for the long haul.
No, no question about it. In fact, I will go ahead and go there. I will be the master of the overstatement. All right, Ryan,
hey, Greeny,
here we go.
Greeny.
Yeah.
Greeny, before you start, I just want people I want people to listen to Mark. And this is why Greeny is never going to get a championship with the New York Jets in his time.
Hold on, bro. Hold on.
Mark just talked about all the people on this show who know what a good organization is. I got to know what a good organization is. Ninkovich got to know what a good organization is. My dog, Mark, did not throw himself nowhere in the good organization conversation. My dog totally skipped over the fact that he went to the AFC Championship, that Bart Scott said he couldn't wait, and he can't wait to come to Pittsburgh because they beat the New England Patriots. That boy, Mark, refused to admit that he played for a good organization. And it's only the other people on the show. Boy, that junk got me weak. I'm sorry for interrupting the show for that, but I needed that moment. Thank
you. Okay.
Continue.
It's okay.
Stop dogging me. Stop dogging me like you do Tannenbaum.
Oh, Lord.
I'll say this. It's funny.
Oh, gosh.
But I'm now not speaking to you for the rest of the day. So I'm coming to Bart Scott instead. And I was going to ask you this question, but now I'm asking it to Bart. And this is the question. I don't want to overreact. I get it. We have played one game out of an entire NFL season. But Hembo sent me a note. The Chiefs are an FPI favorite, an analytics favorite, in all 15 of the games they have remaining.
Yes.
Do you see 16-0 as a realistic possibility for Kansas City?
I think they'll have one hiccup. This offense is so dynamic, Greeny. This offense has the ability to beat you vertically and stretch the field vertically. Now they show that they can run the ball. And I rarely feel sorry for people, but I felt sorry for Anthony Weaver, who was making his debut as a defensive coordinator for the Texans, my former teammate. He knows the recipe. Look at this right here. This is pretty much a running play, and they sent a text message by putting the fullback out there and knowing that something was going to happen. They know they weren't throwing the ball to him. And then this is just a foot race, right? This is a horizontal foot race with Tyreek Hill, which you can't keep up with that. So they put so much pressure on you. What Mahomes has really mastered is what Brady and Manning mastered later in their career. They're willing to take what the defense gives you. It was death by 1,000 paper cuts. You know, he didn't care about you taking away the deep pass. They were able to put the ball in his playmaker's hands and allow them to make plays. And when you have that, you're going to have the ability to really be in every ball game because you really have to pick your poison. Do you want to keep two safeties deep, or do you want to try and put that robber in the middle to try and help somebody that loses their coverage, and then you have one-on-one on the outside?
Yes, I don't want to overreact. I'm merely sitting here saying that the Chiefs are going to go 16-0.
They're pretty good, Greeny.
Let's move on to the next topic. All right, we have huge games coming up on Sunday. Let's do some either-ors around some of these most interesting matchups, and I got plenty of people to do it. Bart, we start with Minnesota Green Bay. Who has the bigger day, Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins?
I'm going to go with A.A. Ron, and the reason I'm going to go with A.A. Ron is because he's going to be behind, and he's going to have to throw the ball. But I think that Minnesota actually gets the win. Dalvin Cook is too dynamic. This defense adding Yannick is going to be explosive. And listen, they gave Aaron Rodgers no help. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers only because he's going to be behind and throwing.
I got you. Meanwhile, let's stay in that same game. Diana Russini, how about the running backs? Who has the bigger day, Aaron Jones or Dalvin Cook?
Well, goodbye, Kevin Stefanski. Hello, Gary Kubiak, who is calling the plays. And Greeny, we know Kubiak comes from that Mike Shanahan tree where, you know what they love to do? They love to run, and they love to run early. Dalvin Cook is healthy. We haven't seen that in about a season. And he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder as he's trying to prove that he deserves that contract. So I think in terms of who's going to have the better game, it's going to be Dalvin Cook. And, oh, yeah, that Packers run defense, not very good. Remember that NFC Championship game? Ugly, and it didn't get much better in this offseason.
All right, Cowboys and Rams Sunday night. Mark, who has a bigger day, Dak Prescott or Jared Goff?
I can't go against my guy Dak and the star. You know, he's had a troubled offseason with the loss of his brother. He's talked about these mental health issues and things that he was thinking, the tough thoughts, the lonely times that he's had without his brother this offseason, and that's going to fuel his fire. The most important thing they need to do is ease him into this game with the new system and Mike McCarthy and get Zeke going, help Dak out, and then let him roll.
Rob Gronkowski going to Tampa and New Orleans. Mike Evans or Michael Thomas, who has the bigger day?
Look, I might be biased because Michael Thomas is on my fantasy, but I'm going with Michael Thomas. Look, 100, 110, 120, 100, I don't know how many receptions he's going to have this year. We know that Drew Brees is going to feed Michael Thomas the ball every single game. I don't care if he's doubled. He's the best receiver in the league. He's the best route runner. So I'm going with my guy because, number one, he's a beast, and number two, he's on my fantasy. So Michael Thomas.
I got you. And then finally, Ryan Clark, I'm speaking to you again, at least to ask you, Tom Brady or Drew Brees, who has the bigger day amongst the two legends?
Drew Brees. Listen, there's no quarterback that puts up stats like an early season Drew Brees. You add Emmanuel Sanders, one of the best route runners in the game, to a team that has Jared Cook, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara. And it's also an opportunity for Drew Brees to show that he's still the sheriff in town when it comes to the NFC South. That defense of the New Orleans Saints is great on the back end. They get after the passer with Cam Jordan up front. So I expect Drew Brees and Sean Payton to have a day this weekend.
That's a huge game. Look, that's a game we could be still thinking about in January when one of these teams winds up winning that division and the other one's got to go on the road for the playoffs. We will have much more on the NFL as we continue. But we've not yet made a trip this morning to the bubble. Only one game last night. Let's talk about the Lakers and the Rockets. And it's James Harden looking to even up the series against LeBron in game four. Let's pick it up late in the second quarter. Lakers up 15. James Harden struggling. 1 of 7 from the floor in the first half. LeBron bringing it up. Survey, why give it up when you can do this? Look at that. The reverse over the top of the head. Lakers in the first half, 7 of 7 in transition for 17 points, and their lead was 16. Let's go to the fourth. The lead is 17. It's LeBron. This time he's looking for his teammate Anthony Davis. Davis had a big night. 29 points, 12 boards, 5 assists. There's no good matchup for him in Houston. Just over 3 minutes to go. Rockets down 13, trying to work their way back into it. Ball's going to find Russell Westbrook, and he's going to cut it to a 10-point game. Are they back in it? No, they're not. 33 seconds left. Lakers' lead is 8. Alex Caruso playing defense. They'll turn this into offense, and watch this. Rondo off the backboard. Oh, LeBron throws it down. LeBron, a quiet night. 16 points, 15 boards, 9 assists. Lakers win by 10. They're up 3-1 on Harden and company. And our Kendrick Perkins tweeted during the game, the Lakers have 3 head coaches, Vogel, LeBron, and Rondo. And here he is, Kendrick Perkins. What do you say when we look at the tweet? What are you thinking there about the way this team has leadership from those three?
Well, Greeny, look, we already know how I feel about LeBron James and Anthony Davis being the best duo and how dominant they are. But then you add Rajon Rondo, and not just Rajon Rondo, playoff Rondo. This guy is invaluable. One could argue that he saved the Lakers' playoff run by returning to the bubble healthy. He's their third best player. You look at him last night, he almost had a triple-double. What Rondo brings to the floor is that he's that second floor general. The first is LeBron James. He's able to orchestrate and put guys in position to be successful. If you look down the line, the Lakers had 6 players. DeMarquise Morris had finished with 9. That would have been 7. But you look at it, Caldwell Pope, Danny Green, all those guys are playing exceptionally well. That's because of Rajon Rondo. And look at it. During the games, Rajon Rondo is able to make eye contact on the fly with Anthony Davis to get spin out lobs. LeBron James ducking in. He's making pinpoint passes in a small window. The effect of playoff Rondo is here, and the Lakers are dangerous right now.
No question. So we head into a weekend in which both LA teams will try to put away their series and set up this matchup that we've basically been talking about since last summer. As you watch it right now, take your rooting interest out of it. Which one of them looks better to you right now, the Lakers or the Clippers? Who looks better going into what we expect will be the Western Conference Finals starting next week?
The Lakers do. The Lakers do. No one has an answer for Anthony Davis. I heard you say early in the show the Rockets don't have an answer for Anthony Davis. Neither do the Clippers. And the way that the LeBron James have turned back the hands of time, he looked like the LeBron James from the Miami days where he was playing some of his basketball. You look at a champion like Danny Green, who is starting to find his rhythm. Caldwell Pope is also finding his rhythm. And look at what the Lakers had to go through. They had to beat Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, a veteran team. Now they had to move on, and now they're facing this Houston Rockets team with 2 former MVPs, and they are handling them. I mean, just blowing them out the water. So right now, the Lakers look like the clear-cut favorite, Greeny.
We'll see what happens. Again, next week, the battle for L.A., 3,000 miles away in the bubble in Orlando for the right to go to the finals. Kendrick Perkins, have a great weekend, my man. Thank you very much. I'll take a quick break. We'll go back to the NFL in just a moment, where this Sunday, 2 legends square off in a division game that should have implications all the way through to January. We'll tell you who has the edge and why as we continue a Football Friday. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
To all the non-believers.
How did that?
To all the non-believers.
I can't wait till the day I make it. I can't wait.
We're a good football team. They can't stop a nosebleed.
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
No, I can't wait.
The words that made him famous, the segment that follows. Bart, we're going to run through a few of the things you can't wait for in this upcoming season. It begins with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, I love this one right here. I love a good drama. You got the league of a very old man. You have Aaron Rodgers, who was trying to make an offensive carrot cake. And guess what they did? They bought him no carrots, Greeny. How can you bake a cake? You talk about being part of the NFC Championship. You go out and get me no weapons. Instead, you bring in my replacement. Listen, they're on a collision course because he's walking the green mile. The same thing make you laugh, make you cry. Brett Favre came in, he took his place. Now you have Love running his place, man. This is going to be a great story to watch because he's on his last days with a cheesehead.
Okay, next thing you can't wait for, give me a team not getting a lot of buzz.
Oh, I tell you what, I love this Atlanta Falcons team flying underneath the radar. You talk about what they was able to do in the offseason. I thought they were punting on the season, but then they went out and made a trade for Hayden Hurst, bringing Todd Gurley. That offense is going to be great. Raheem Morris last year came over, left outside of the wide receivers room. He went to the defensive side of the ball, and they got better, making Dante Fowler, you know, their pass rusher on the outside. This team is a team that's going underneath the radar, and I believe they will compete for the division.
All right, and then how about the team everyone is talking about, Tampa? What do you expect?
Oh, man, I'm so excited to see what's going to happen. Tom Brady looks like he went to Pleasantville. He was there in black and white with Bill Belichick. Now he's in a world of color. He has a head coach with a Kango swagged out, and he's having fun. Not only is he having fun, he brought his friend along, Gronkowski. You look at the plethora of weapons they have, the ability to maybe go with three tight ends on the field. I'm excited to see what's going to happen and how this offense is going to take place. And can Tom Brady win a championship without Bill Belichick? I think we're going to get an answer to that pretty soon, Brady.
Okay, I can't wait to find out the answers. Bart Scott with Can't Wait. Meanwhile, speaking of Brady, I want you to hear what he had to say about the week of preparation leading into this, his first game ever, no longer as a Patriot.
I think there's, you know, naturally a way that is, you know, your body just does things a certain way that it's done it for a long time without you having to think. And a lot of being a great athlete is not thinking. So the more you're thinking, it's actually slower than if you were just reacting and anticipating. So we're working through that. It's my first game. It's my first chance to play. So we'll see where we're at. But we got a big test. There's no room for error. So it's a big, big challenge to start the year.
All right, this is something we've been talking about forever, it feels like, all the way back to March. Now it's finally go time. Mark Sanchez, you hear him talking about whatever lack of familiarity he has in this new offense. What do you expect from him this quickly, Sunday, in a huge game in New Orleans?
Listen, I think he's going to be just fine, but it's human nature, and it's so unfair. Whoever has a better season, whether it's the Patriots or Tom Brady, is going to be responsible for the dynasty. If you ask me, I think it's Rob Ninkovich. He was the heartbeat. He was the soul of that team. Tell him, Rob. But seriously, he touched on it quickly, but you know that Belichick, he heard Bill's voice in the back of his head. It sounded like in that press conference, and tightened things up, landed the plane with his answer, and just cut off any uncertainty that he was thinking and projecting to everybody else. It was interesting you brought up that clip. I saw that. I thought that was kind of funny.
Well, go ahead, Ninkovich. Pick up on that. But despite or beyond the obviously enormous role you played in the success of the Patriot dynasty, let's talk about what you think it is for him now in this fresh start, and maybe more importantly, in a new offense, whatever it looks like.
First off, I'd like to say, Mark, thank you so much. You know, I brought a lot to that team over the years. But I just think that, look, there's an excitement for Tom. And I used to say this all the time. At the end of the day, a football player has to go out there and just go out, fly around. Defensive guys just want to make plays. There's a thing called paralysis by overanalysis. So when you start to overthink things and you're trying to go through the game plan and how am I going to feel going into this situation versus what I've been in the past, Tom's going to go in there and he's going to have a clear head. He's excited to start the season. We all know that this season's been a very long offseason. The wait for this season to start has been super long. So I think that Tom is very excited. He's calm and collected. He's going to go out there, and I think he's going to have a heck of a season. It's a fresh start for him. And look, I'm just excited to watch it with all the weapons that he has. We all know last year in the Patriots, even right now, they don't have a ton of weapons. You look at the receiving core from Tampa versus the Patriots. I mean, Tampa all day is killing the Patriots when it comes to the receiving core.
Of that, there is no question. But, RC, we talk about a long wait. It certainly has been a long wait. But they haven't done a lot of the things you would normally do. They didn't get a normal training camp. They didn't get the normal OTAs. They didn't get any preseason. Will that affect Brady in a new offense?
Absolutely. And listen, Tom Brady, he's still human, right? He's not Superman. He was still a guy drafted in the sixth round that turned himself into this great player. Part of that is what he does above the neck. And when you don't get some of those live reps, when you don't get those opportunities with a new cast, with a new playbook, it can take some time for you to get acclimated, especially when you're playing a team like the New Orleans Saints that is so stacked defensively. And so I expect Tom Brady to start a little slower than he may end the season, but what he will understand how to do is be able to find matchups, understand where he has the one-on-one coverage. And you heard Rob mention some things about the weaponry at Tampa, and he can find guys who can go up and make plays in 50-50 situation, guys who can beat the one-on-one. And that's what Tom Brady is going to look for in week one. He has a comfort with Rob Gronkowski, but I think understanding what Godwin could do in the slot, if Mike Evans is fully healthy outside, they'll find ways to win. The big deal is Leonard Fournette and that stable of backs. If you can get seven-man boxes, make the correct check, get to the right run, that's how you set yourself up for the play-action pass, and that's what I know Tom Brady can do no matter how much practice he's had.
Look, the reality is these are two teams that figure to be battling for the division. There's no time for a slow start for Brady here, the way the schedule broke. We'll see. That is one of the many interesting games this weekend. And now playing this weekend and Monday on ESPN, we have the U.S. Open Women's Final tomorrow, the Men's Final Sunday at 4 Eastern. Tomorrow, 7:30 Eastern on ABC. Trevor Lawrence, top-ranked Clemson, taking on Wake Forest. LeBron and the Lakers try to finish off the Rockets tomorrow, 9 Eastern on ESPN. And our annual Monday Night Football Week 1 doubleheader features the Steelers and Giants, followed by the Titans and Broncos. It's now playing this weekend and Monday on ESPN and the ESPN app. Meanwhile, today, of course, is the 11th of September, and I've always thought in all my years here the best that we can do on shows like this one is try to entertain people and take their minds off of tragic events, these that are now 19 years in our past. But we, of course, would like to let you know that all of us at our program at Get Up, our thoughts are with all of you, the fathers and the mothers and the sons and the daughters and the husbands and wives who are living forever with holes in your lives that will never be filled. Our show is broadcast at Pier 17, which is just a few blocks away from the Freedom Tower in Lower Manhattan. And right now, below the Freedom Tower, ceremonies are underway to remember the nearly 3,000 victims of that day. Moments of silence are being held to mark the moments when the planes crashed into the towers and the Pentagon and in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. We will continue our program in just a moment. But again, for all of you whose lives will never be the same, our thoughts are with you today.